Good morning again, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you, everybody who shared. That's fun. So I'll say it again, join a life group. You will be blessed by it, for sure. So this morning we're going to continue on in our, we're going to continue on in our series in the Lord's Prayer. And I invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word if you're able to. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. This morning I'm going to read from the New King James. Each week I'm reading a different translation just to see the fuller picture of word for word or thought for thought or meaning for meaning translation. And this morning we'll read from New King James. Matthew 6, starting at verse 9. And Jesus states, "In this manner, therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And then if you wouldn't mind standing for reading of Isaiah 6, back in the Old Testament. I'm going to read from New King James again, Isaiah 6, just the first three verses. And that reads, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to come in and worship you. And we do want to hallow your name, for your name to be lifted on high. And Lord, we'll rest in that. It may seem odd not to ask you to do anything this morning, because we know that you will, but mostly because you're enough. Your name is enough. And yet, Lord, we do ask that you prepare our hearts to receive your word. Whatever you want me to say, I say. Whatever you don't. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So as we've began this journey in the Lord's Prayer, slowly moving through it, it has shades of when we went through Psalm 23. I don't know if you were here or part of that, but just taking your time, and I think the slower you go through things, obviously the longer it takes, but the more that we can enjoy and learn. And that's really my hope for this. Someone had asked me, what was my goal for going through the Lord's Prayer? And goal, what's a goal? I don't know, no, I'm just kidding. But just really, my desire was to take a familiar passage, something that perhaps we've memorized if you grew up in church or grew up in Awanas or grew up, and you probably, if you're older than, 30, memorized the Lord's Prayer in New King James. And you're finally satisfied that I ended with, "And yours is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen." Yep. But yet, when going through this, sometimes when we memorize things and things become familiar, if we're not careful, it can lose its power. Even if, for those of you who every year you go through a reading plan, you read through the Bible through the year, and you have to fight the temptation to just rush through it because you know, in the beginning, I know, Leviticus, well, hurry up. And then let's get to the Gospels or something. But really what my hope this morning is just for us, again, through this series, is to slow down and to consider. So this is actually our third Sunday. And we've considered what prayer is not, according to Jesus, as he's teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. And then last week we talked about Our Father. And it was quite interesting to hear from many of you who struggle seeing God as Father, who love the fact that He is a Father. And then for some of you, this morning as we talk about hallowed be your name, nah, that's the power of God. That's what I like, or at least that's what I was brought up with. And really, we haven't even got to our request. We haven't even got to asking God to do stuff. Jesus is teaching us to pray in such a way that we acknowledge who we are talking to. First, as I mentioned last week, the Father. He is our Father. We are adopted. Those of us who are in Christ Jesus are adopted into the family, into God's family. That's a big deal. And now at the same time, the pendulum swings, if you will, to hallowed be thy name. So this morning, really what I want to do is just talk about what does hallowed mean? What does a name mean? And then three things to discuss as we talk about hallowed, because hallowed really just simply means to be lifted up, to be praised, to be adored, to set apart. That's why in most translations, except for the NLT, still use the word hallowed, because there's not really a word that we use, that we have in English, that really quite fits hallowed. And just a quick thought here, is there anything that you've ever called hallowed other than the Lord's name? No. So it's a word that I consider that's protected only for the Lord. And I like those words. So, again, this morning we're talking about what hallowed means, God's name, and then really hallowed being adoring God, and then three things that I wrote down, how to adore God. Not just God the Father, but to adore the Almighty. How do we do that? So the three things that I wrote down is not only to state, but to list how He is hallowed or adored. Not only keep, but to express, and not only to remember, but to rest in. So not only to state, but to list, not only keep, but to express, and not only to remember, but to rest in. So I mentioned just briefly this pendulum. That's what several theologians called it. It's going back and forth from the Father to the Almighty, to the Father, to Almighty, or as Stott says, climbing up the ladder, each rung, Father, Mighty, or as I call it, riding the bike, you can, Father, the Almighty. You can't just rest in one or you won't get anywhere fast in your bike. But for some of us, we just kind of want to hover in the middle, I think, or maybe depending on our upbringing, if we've been brought up at the church. Maybe we just feel more comfortable looking at God as the Almighty Powerful, or we just like, oh, He's Father, and sometimes the Almighty Powerful, He doesn't care, and then, oh, the Father, He's just a cute teddy bear that just loves us and holds us. Well, yes, but yet no. And hallowed means so much more. It means to treat something that is sacred and holy, to adore. To treat God as glorious and holy is actually to praise and to adore. It means to be captivated, to be in awe of the great joy of the Lord, the presence of God. Ooh, when was the last time you felt like that? So it's this transition, really. It's our attempt. What Jesus is teaching us in His prayer is our attempt is not to simply just pray to God. It's to pray to God. It's to have God become more than something that is useful in our lives, but to know that He is beautiful. To know not just that He is good, but to experience that He is good. This is what the opening prayer is. This is what Jesus is talking about on the Sermon on the Mount. Again, we're 3/4 into the Sermon on the Mount if we were going through it. And He's talking about this glorious opportunity to come and just praise God, to acknowledge who He is. Hallowed means just that, to lift up His character, the fullness of who God is. That word, again, hallowed just means sacred, pure, to adore, to honor. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And Jesus is teaching that our first priority in praying is to ask that our Heavenly Father's name be hallowed. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And what's so interesting about this, this is not a declaration. This is not simply us just stating this truth. That's really what I thought for years, to be honest with you. I thought this was us stating a truth, which it is, but it is also a request to God that he would see to it that his own name be hallowed. That's mind-blowing. We're asking God to see fit that he would hallowed, lift his name above all names. Because as much as we do it, as much as we desire to do it, or at least should desire to do it, the only one who could really praise his name fully is himself by his Spirit in us. So again, it's not simply stating it, it's asking God to do it. And as he's doing it, bring us in. That's why I read from Isaiah, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. It's to make God, who should be the most important things in our life, but to make sure that he is the only sacred thing first in our life. And not just in our prayer life, not just our private prayer life or our public prayer life, but our praise life. This is praising God. This is not just praying. This is praising God in private, praising God in public. I think if I had to take a survey, my guess is this. It is easier to pray out loud privately, but it is easier to praise out loud publicly. That's why we're here. Regardless of when we were singing songs of praise, regardless of how that actually sounded coming out of our voice, I think it's easier to do that. That's just an opinion. That's just kind of what I've noticed because, you know, if I asked some of you to come up here and pray for us, you would leave the state. But then on the other hand, if I asked you, how do you praise privately? Does your mind immediately go to listen to K-Love or whatever in the car? You know, getting your whatever, however you dance in the car, right? But it's more than just songs. It's praising, it's thanking, it's just thinking about God. It's adoring him, it's hallowing him, it's lifting him up. Now don't get me wrong, I love to worship God through music so much. I'm just awful at it. But I love when the worship team and when we're led through songs. It's a gift because it's something that I can't do well, but God has given me an opportunity to worship him because of the gifts that he's given other people. This is the community. This is going back to our Father, the full expression. I really think the full expression that we can see God is being together. It's not dismissing our private time, our quiet time. But, you know, your quiet time and your private time can get a little messy. That's okay. But when we're all together, in our weaknesses, he is made strong. And a lot of times how he is made strong is through the gifts of other people. I like what A.W. Tozer wrote in his book, The Pursuit of God, talking about prayer. He said this, "There's no substitute for prayer. It is the highest activity of the human soul and the greatest privilege that God has given us." So this is what hallowed means, to adore. And so I don't keep saying hallowed or hallowedness and say it incorrectly. I'm just going to continue to say adore now. But his name, why the name? Hallowed be his name, adore his name. Name refers to a person, to a character, to the authority. All that God stands for should be treated as holy and honored because of his utter perfection and goodness of his name. Now, this is a little bit tricky, I think, for our culture in some ways versus what was happening then. Then, and even through the Middle Ages, and even in Europe and some African and South American countries, your name meant a lot. You were identified by your name and then the son of. And you were connected to that. But you know, right now, our name does mean something. My name, Dallas, I mean, that's kind of a weird name. Thanks, Mom. But, you know, if someone calls me Houston, I'm not, I mean, like, I know it's one of those Texas things, right? You know, someone says it's one of those countries or city, you know. But if you say my name, I'm not offended, you know. Our daughter's name is Aria, and I'm not picking on you if you've ever called her Ariel. She doesn't care. I don't care. You know, maybe it's a little bit different for you. I was talking to Marcus. Someone had called him Mark. I asked him if he's offended. You know, I don't, whatever, right? But at this time, to call someone something different, you don't care. You don't. What's wrong? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with you? But also, too, that name has power. And I'm not trying to say speaking things into existence. I'm just saying name establishes the power. It alters everything. We can't just run around calling stuff things, that thing. You know, when your kids were toddlers, everything was a thing thing. I need a thing thing. Well, I need a little bit more to get you the thing thing. What's a thing? Right? We have to identify, because calling something, having a name, not only gives it an identification, but it can also give it a history. It can give it a meaning. It can give it a power. So here, I'll just say names, or the name of, the proper noun, and see what pops in your mind. Okay, ready? COVID. Whoa, right? Like, you thought of all these things, right? Like, it's not just the cold. It was, you know, whatever, and then you remember to shut down. Like, you see how it builds up? Okay, here's another one. Maybe I'm just, like, in a bad mood. I'm just kidding. World War II. Oh, right? Come on, where's the good? Right? That is the name of a war, but then did your mind go through people? Did you go through situations? Did you, like, oh, yeah, I remember hearing about that, about, you know? What happens if I just called you by name right now? I'm almost tempted to do that to whoever's sleeping. What? No, it's okay. But if I called your name, but if I called your name from up here, you'd feel like you're in trouble. You're really waiting for me to call someone's name, aren't you? Right? You would feel like you're in trouble, or, oh, please don't. Like, it means something because I'm calling you by name, but if I called your name out there, you'd, right? So the name, it's identification, it's a purpose. And this is what adoring God's name is. It's when we state his name, it doesn't just mean God. It means who he is. It means his character. And we'll talk about that more as we end the service. So when Jesus says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name," adoring your name, setting apart your name, how do we do this? How do you actually adore God's name? And I have three things, like I had mentioned. There's many, 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 many more. I was reading through tons of things that people have put together and preached on over the years, as far back to like the first century churches, to right after the apostles, all the way through as much as I could see. And this is my list. So how do we adore? It's not only stating his name, not only just stating, but listing out. That's the first one I'll talk about. So it's not just that we come in and say, "God, you are great. Amen." I mean, that's sufficient, kind of, right? But God, you are great because, here's the list. I adore you, God, but I adore you because. It's an analysis. It's putting together this list. I don't just love you. I'm going to break it down. I'm going to praise you, God, because you are love. Okay, God, you are love. Amen. Oh, that's good. But God, you are love because your love cost you your son. You are love, God, because you thought of me and everyone else when you created us. You are love because when I was in my darkest moment, you were the only one there. Do you see the difference? You know, if your spouse, for those of you who are married, says, "Why do you love me?" And you say, "Oh, you're all right, bro." Right? Or what's all the reasons why? listing them out. So I was thinking about this a little bit more, and I've noticed that when you fall in love with something, or there's something that you really enjoy, you begin to study it, and you begin to be able to share about it, and you can really tell by the way that you're really invested into it. About this list, so there's a game that my girls play with me, and it's an awful game because it's really just picking on me. And it's called the color game. And they will show me a color, and they will ask me what color it is. And I will say, I mean, I can say red and blue and green, like the rainbow, maybe. But they'll show me variations of red, and my answer is always the same. Well, that's a lighter red, right? And they're like, no, Dad, it's salmon. Like, okay. Like, what color is this? It's purple. No, it's periwinkle. Is that a color, right? Okay, whew, good. I'm like, I thought that was like a moose or something. Oh, wait, that's not right. Bullwinkle. All right, anyways, okay. Ah, you caught on, all right. Right, like at some point for me, red is just red, and then it gets pink. There's like 700 different reds. Did you know this? Well, you knew this, Sarah. That's not fair, but I don't know this. And it's a game we play all the time, and I hate it, but it's fun. But you know, if you sit down with them, they can name out all these different colors. They can list out what it is and what's good with it. And granted, that's a gift, that's a skill, that's something that they adore. Something that they adore. It's more than just red, blue, and green. You know, for me, I mean, I can tell you all the hockey teams in the NHL and who their captain is, right? But really what this list is doing, what Jesus is teaching us is, are we able to list out why we think God is good? Are we able to come to a point where we don't just say, God, you're good, you're great, but you're good and you're great because of all these things? So that's what part of hallowed be your name. Not only stating the truth, but listing out the truth. And again, if we go back to the understanding that we're not making a statement that his name should be adored or hallowed. We're asking him to do this. So in this listing, we are coming up with this list. And you know, when you start coming up with these lists, they grow and grow and grow. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, as he works in your life, he's showing you more and more and more of the character of God. We haven't even presented our request to God yet. We're still just calling him Father and Almighty Powerful God, and we're just listing these things out in our prayer. So the next one I have, so that was not only state but list out, and this one not only keep but to express. Then there's a response to what we list out, what we think of, what we pray, how we express it out musically, publicly, physically, with words. We praise God more than just in our heart. Praising God in our heart is so very important, but praising God outwardly is important. Now, for any of those like me that your immediate thought was like, well, I don't want to be showy, we're not talking about that. You know, you have to measure your own heart if what you are doing is only so that way people notice. We've covered that in the first week. That's why Jesus says the hypocrites. Don't pray like the hypocrites. And really, the more and more that I've been studying this over the last month or so, at first I thought he was just talking about the hypocrites of people who are hypocritical. Then I got into the little bit of the weeds about, like, that means a mask. But he's talking about his prayers. Is your prayers hypocritical? Meaning, do you really believe in what you're praying? Are you living out? Are you praying and looking over your shoulder to see if someone notices? The same way in our public expression, is this just who you are, or do you want people to notice? And part of this expressing out is again connected to our Father, our Father. Isn't it so sweet to come and worship all together? Again, I mentioned this at the beginning of the season, but we have this innate desire in each and every one of us to praise or to cheer things on. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, you know, your favorite team, whatever sport. Yay, my team. Boo, the other team, right? And booing another team is actually you just trying to lower down your team so you could praise. Maybe you're not into sports. Maybe it's your kids. You can do it. Yay. Or maybe it's not even any of those. Maybe it's just you like, you get new equipment. Whatever that means to you. This is cool. This is great. This is, when you buy something new that you really enjoy, it's either for your job or for a hobby that you do, do you not tell other people? That's a form of praising. Look at this. I got this new hockey stick. Woo. Well, I don't know, whatever. Right? Because part of praising, and C.S. Lewis talks about this, and I won't go way too far into this, but praising, he talks about this. He's talking about praising completes the joy. We don't just praise something because we enjoy it. It actually completes the joy when we praise that thing. You can't get to the joy without expressing that joy. You can't enjoy God quietly without expressing it. And I'm not talking about over the top, jumping up and down. Some of you are that way. That's great. That's fine. I'm just talking about, you know, even for you who are very, very reserved, a little bit of you in there is like, yeah. And this can be similar to listing it out, but this is more of an expression of in public with other people. This is sharing. Again, this is more than worshiping with music, but also in service. If you truly, truly adore God, don't you just want people to know about him? You serve other people. You serve. You have an opportunity. It's just an expression of what's going on in your heart. You adore God so much that you want others to know. So it's not just, yay, Jesus. It's serving with the kids, serving the community, putting the hygiene kits together, whatever it is. You're just so full of joy that you can't contain it. So how do you do this? How do you adore with this expression? You're just excited to do it. And then even considering it, while you're doing this, you're going through your list of going back and forth, riding this bike or the pendulum swinging back and forth. God, you are the Father. Wow, you love me so much. Wow, you are Almighty God. I just want people to know this, that you are a Father and that you are all powerful. And that in my listing of how low you came to save us, but yet how high you're lifted up. I need people to know this as I serve. The more that you can see his love, the more that you can see the greatness of God, the more that you see his greatness, the more that your love and affection for him grows. And sometimes it's just simply sitting down and slowing down and to consider what he's doing. So, this experience, this expression of God's love. I like what Jonathan Edwards said regarding experiencing versus knowing. And Jonathan Edwards gives this great illustration that he asked if everybody knew what honey tastes like. And he just went on and on and on and described honey and just how sweet it is. And even in his journals, he was saying, I really got him on the hook, and they all thought they were getting honey. You know, he had a great sense of humor. But he's describing honey, and if I start to describe it, and maybe honey doesn't carry the weight that it did, you know, 700 years ago, whatever your favorite dessert is, I start talking about it. Like, there's a difference if we just describe it, but then if you have an opportunity to taste it, it's different. You can know intellectually that God is good. But there is a difference between knowing and experiencing that he's good. And really, the only way that I know that you can experience that he is good is if you put yourself out there and experience life in him. Not just hiding, not just, okay, here's my prayers. God, I adore you. You are good. Because then we see God's beauty It's only if we see God's beauty and this sense of his love and in his heart and the difference between having a relationship with God and just being religious, just showing up and doing things just because you should. It's a good checklist. I don't want anyone to call me and see where I've been. I adore you, God. And then just for the rest of the time, it's not only those, but it's not only remembering, but resting in God. And I think this is probably, perhaps, at least for me, my experience, the greatest way that I've learned to adore God is to rest in him, to be in him, not only just to remember or to list out. And this is really the long suffering in our Christian walk. This is really the praise in the storm, if you will, the resting in. God is not just on Sunday morning praise. This is Monday morning blues. Anyone get the Monday morning blues? Does anyone get the Sunday night blues too? Because you're already worrying about Monday or Tuesday or whatever. It's not only remembering but resting in. It's being able to praise God more than just Sunday morning with worship and with the word. It's being able to rest in God when you turn on the news and you hear a bad report, the fires, the floods, the wars, when you show up to work and you have to put out all those fires, you get those text messages. This adoring God, resting in him, this adoration. God, I praise you on Sunday. Will you help me to practice this on Monday? It's really, again, resting in God is part of the way that we rest, is really to realign our hearts to what matters. It's going back, week one, rearranging your heart's priorities. And sometimes there is a prayer that only happens, quite honestly, when the thing that you really love is threatened or is not going well. You know those uh-oh prayers, right? We all have them. This, oh, this is bad, I should pray. So the question is part of resting in him is praying more than when you just have trouble. And praising him, not just the good time. Adoring God in secret tells you what you adore in secret tells you what you hallow. The way that you know what is most important that you adore is what you do in secret and what you think about in secret. It's when you have those few moments alone and you're driving along or you're sitting at home or someone cancels a meeting on you and you have that 30 minutes, an hour, and you're like, ooh, what should I do? What do you daydream about? Where do you run to? When you don't have to do anything at all, what do you think about? What do you adore the most? And in our day and age, what we tend to do is try to think less and listen more. That's why we like our podcasts. I'm not picking on podcasts. We like our sermons. We like our music. We like to fill our time. But those times where it's just quiet, what do you dream about having? More of God or more of fishing? More of whatever. And I'm not saying these things are bad. These things are a gift from God. I'm just saying the priority in which we come in at and we daydream about really shows the priority of our hearts, really shows what we rest in. When we adore something, we hold up something. Adoring God and his character, that's what we're supposed to do. And no, we're not little robots just going praising God, but how do we praise God while we're doing whatever it is? And again, it's not just praying to God alone in our private prayers, but praising God alone when we are quiet. I do have to ask myself this question quite routinely because the pastor that I had mentioned, a professor who was teaching us guys to be pastors and really worried about our character and praying about our character, he said, when you guys become pastors and you have a pulpit, ask yourself, do I come to church on Sundays because it's my duty? Do I come to church because it's my expectation? Is it my paycheck? Or do I come to church to adore God? When I come to church, do I come to praise Him? This adoration? Do you see why it's important that Jesus is starting off this Lord's Prayer before we ask for anything? Before anything else, before we ask this day, our bread, our forgiveness, we are adoring God. So when Jesus says, "Hallowed be your name," what are we resting in? That's why, again, reading Stott, Keller, Calvin, Wesley, Augustine, I've covered the whole gambit. They all point in one way or another, the problems that we have in our life is problems of adoration. If you're having a hard time letting go of something, you adore that thing over God. And I'm just summarizing those five guys. And one of the things that we had discussed about in our life group, the young adult life group, is the problem of forgiveness, having a hard time forgiving ourselves. So just briefly to close out, just talking about if you've ever been there, unable to forgive, specifically unable to feel God's forgiveness or forgiving yourself, it's really a problem of what we adore. What do you hallow the most? Money, comfort, notoriety, relationships, meaning, family, fame, stuff. When any of those things fall short or we let them down, it means we put that thing in the driver's seat of what we should adore. And praise is supposed to be only for the Lord, thankfulness for what He's given us. So if you've ever ran into this problem or even said, "I could never forgive myself," or "God could never forgive me," many times that means I can't forgive the image I pretended that I have. I've upset my wife and now she's upset at me. Oh, how could she ever forgive me? How can I even forgive myself because I put her in the place that only God should be in to forgive me? If you're hoping for a new job, a new career, you're hallowing a job or a career. If you think about losing it or not obtaining it and it's going to ruin your life, it's because that's what you adore most. That's what you're striving for the most. It's not that those things aren't important. It's just, what does your heart long to desire? And that's what Jesus is saying. First of all, when we come to God in prayer, "Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let us adore you first. That will help everything else fall in the line." And again, it's not just praising, but holding on to this praise of our great God, listing it out, experiencing it, and recognizing that even in His grace and mercy, He is the one who allows us to adore Him. I'm going to read Psalm 63, 1 through 8. I think King David wrote this out so well. See if you could just see the earnest of his adoration for the Lord. I'm going to read from the NLT, Psalm 63, 1 through 8. This is what David wrote. And before we go on, this is when he's on the run. This is when he is leaving one cave for another cave. This is when everyone is after him, when he has absolutely nothing. He hasn't even got to the place where all those men have joined him in the caves. This is what he says. "Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night." We'll stop there. You see that? You see how he's not asking for things? He's praising. Verse 4, "I will praise you as long as I live. You satisfy me more than riches. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night." And now we can go to verses 8 and 9, or verses the rest of 7 to 8. "Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you, your strong right hand holds me." Isn't that adoration there? He's not asking to get out of trouble. He's not doing anything else but praising God. He's adoring him. And it's not that he's not aware of the situation. I mean, verse 1, he says, in this parched and weary land where there is no water. But now he's reflecting. Now he's listing out what he has experienced. His sanctuary, gaze upon your power. And verse 3 always sticks with me. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. Wow. God, your love is better than my life. And routinely what I pray for is all about my life. So last thing, what has at least helped, is I put together a chart of 40 names that God has called in the Bible with references to where you can find them. If this interests you, I'll send it to you on Pages or PDF or Excel, and you can make it way more prettier than I did. But I just want to, as we are preparing our hearts to receive communion, you're welcome to receive communion with us if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. We're going to sing some songs. But I want to close out with a way that has helped me adore God. At the beginning, hallowed be thy name, the power behind the name. So what my hope is, and this is not the exhaustive list, this is only 40 names of God. So this is a way that I have learned. It's not perfect yet. It's the times where I feel lost and there's no hope. Whenever I'm trying to make a decision and I can't make one. This is at least one of the ways that I have come to learn to adore God is by praying through his names. I know some of you have done this before. But as we close, I'll pray this way. Through his names. So God, as we come before you, as we prepare our hearts to receive your word, your testimony, your hope, your life, your everything, Lord, we pray, Lord, that as we are preparing to receive your communion, Lord, we want to hallow your name. We want to set apart your name. We want to adore you, not to get things, because you are enough. So Lord, as we pray, we do pray, Yahweh, you are our Lord. You are the great I am. Elohim, you are the mighty creator. God, you are El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. You are Adonai. You are our Lord, our Master, our Sovereign Lord. You are Yahweh Jireh. You are the Lord that provides. You are Nisa. You are my banner. You are Shalom. You are the Lord of peace. You are Yahweh Tishnei, the Lord of our righteousness. You are Yahweh Sobeth. You are the Lord of hosts. Yahweh Roah, you are the Lord, you are our shepherd. You are Yahweh Rapha, you are the Lord who heals. You are Ilan, you are God Most High, Olma, the everlasting God, Roah, the God who sees me. You are Mikdash Mecha, the Lord who sanctifies us. You are Yahweh Shema, the Lord, you are here. You are Abba, Father. You are the intimate Father. You are our Dad. You are Yahweh Eloheishin, the Lord God of Israel. You are Kana. You are a jealous God. You are Emmanuel. You are God with us. You are Yahweh Husan. You are our Maker. Tushi, you are our Rock. Goel, Redeemer. Nakam, the Lord who strikes. Machnish, the refuge. Yuri, you are our light. El Shai, the living God. Nehemenin, the faith of God. Elon, the most high. Yahweh Bor, you are the creator. You are Goma, you are the Lord of recompense. Yahweh Koba, you are the Lord of glory. Antik Yamin, you are the Ancient of Days. Malkin, you are the Lord, my King. Teshdoth, you are the Lord of armies and host. You are Eldot, the Lord of God of knowledge. And God, you are Chun. You are the gracious Lord. Lord, your name alone is enough. So Lord, we just want to adore you. But mostly, will you make your name hallowed? Lord, let us rest in you in all these things that you are, just in your name alone, just in your character. What joy it is just to recognize who you are before we present our request. And yet, Lord, you want to hear every one of them. So, Lord, as we sing more songs to you, we praise you. Prepare our hearts to receive communion because of your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.